This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is now 4:48, and I'm officially calling the February 21st Student Assembly meeting to order. Chelsea, if you could please call the roll. Thanks, Chelsea. Next, we're moving on to approval of the minutes. There's been a motion to approve, the February 14th minutes. Don't just be more explicit. There's been a motion to approve. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none.
Should I do open microphone first?
Yeah. Next on the agenda is open microphone. So if there's anyone in the audience who is not already on the agenda, feel free to speak about anything relating to student life.
So if you just have something to say from someone else.
Okay. You have a...
From Adam.
So there's... VP Smith is actually going to be reading a statement from Adam Abood, class of 2014.
In regards to a bias that occurred last week, 6 years ago, this is the statement. Dear respected assembly members and community members, as some of you may be aware, there was a serious bias incident that affected the Muslim community. Bias took form as a homophobic, sexist, and patronizing assault on Muslim students who just feel divided. It is important to realize in these cases of bias that the incident at hand is not isolated to a specific community, but rather a reflection of the broader Cornell community. This type of hatred is a consequence of the little administrative support the Muslim community has. Support for the Muslim community would take the form of a chaplaincy. The Juwan Foundation and other individuals are currently working on securing this initiative through alumni support and funding. However, I believe that this issue needs to take a larger priority for the university and perhaps the assembly. A chaplain would be a trained professional equipped with the knowledge and know-how to deal with the many diverse needs of Muslim students while also providing an inclusive environment. I encourage all of you to read my open letter, which I actually have with me, to the Cornell community regarding the incident of February 15th, which can be shared with the assembly by the school. Please recognize that incidents like these will continue to occur until a chaplaincy is established and more serious conversations begin regarding the Muslim community and intersectional identity. In the meantime, students are left defenseless. Sincerely, Adam Abood, class of 2014.
Thanks, Ulysses. Do you think you could email that around as well?
Sure.
Thank you.
Just as an aside, I think you should probably say in the summary that we do not condone any type of or any form of bias or discrimination against any member of the community. And I think as an assembly, we will continue to pick up the charge and see what we can do in terms of obtaining or being that chaplain establishment.
Thanks, Ulysses. Next on the agenda is a presentation from Charlie Walcott, who is the University Ombudsman. Mr. Walcott is the 12th University Ombudsman. He was also former Dean of the faculty, University faculty, also former Chair of the University Assembly, and also Professor in Neurology and Behavior. So, Mr. Walcott, you know, feel free to present, and then SA members will, I'm sure, will have questions for you.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation to come and work with you this afternoon. I'll be very brief. The first question that people would ask me is, so you're the ombudsman. What's that? It turns out that we are an office of the university. We're independent. And we are a place for people to come with a variety of problems and get counsel and advice. We're a safe place to come and talk. We are independent, as I mentioned. We're not part of the administration, though I must confess that I am paid a salary by the university presidency. I am co-educated when I see them. But we do not report to him. We report to the university community, namely the university assembly. We are neutral. That is, we don't take sides in arguments. We are informal. We do not participate in formal processes, but we're familiar with most of them. And finally, we're confidential. And confidential has two asterisks after that. One asterisk is that if you propose to do harm to yourself or others, we would feel obliged to intervene in some way. And secondly, if we are subpoenaed by a court of law, we would have to testify. But since we don't take notes, and there's no written record, or there is a written record that's destroyed every couple of weeks or so, all they get is a notary faculty member who says, gee, I think I might send it to that name, but I'm not really sure. And so the chances of being subpoenaed, I think, are fairly modest. Who are we? There are three of us in the office. Linda Paulson is the associate ombudsman. Her background is in student services. She used to work in the JA office for a number of years, and she is in fact an attorney. Adam Heinberger is the other member of the office, and Adam has a degree in mediation and conflict resolution, that kind of thing. More unusual, perhaps, is he is a graduate of the Barnum and Bailey Science College. Which is who do we serve? We serve faculty, staff, and students, any member of the Cornell community. We're there to try and be helpful to you. In general, about 50% of our business comes from staff, and the remaining 50% is split about between faculty and students. What kind of problems do we have? We get a lot of problems with faculty and graduate students that come kind of problem. We get a lot of conflict between staff, supervisors, staff that are being disciplined for something often that they're not out there. And we try to be helpful to them. Faculty and students, many a problem, and so on. We also get the number of undergraduates. The problems vary from grading difficulties of faculty to a variety of other issues, many different kinds. What do? We try to be helpful. We are familiar with the various processes. I've been a faculty member here for just a few years now. It doesn't seem like too long, but it's actually about 35, actually. And so I finally learned how the system works, more or less. Linda has a lot of experience on the student side of things that Adam on the general mediation. So one of the things we do when we find out a problem is we report them anonymously up to the administration. Just to pick one example, which is relevant to you folks but I'm sure you understand. We discovered that graduate students were supported on fellowships up from the National Science Foundation and the National Institutes of Health, did not realize that they had to pay income tax on that money. And so there was a terrible tendency to take the money and spend it. And then at the end of the year, the Internal Revenue Service would appear and say, you owe us taxes. And we thought it might be nice if the university told graduate students ahead of time that they were going to be subject to this tax liability. And so I encourage you, graduate school, university, and various other people, and now I think that matter is under control. The problem that I discovered with the office is that nobody knows they exist. And I think that's particularly true of the undergraduates. And so one of the questions that I have for you is, what is going to be the best way of reaching out and telling people that we exist and what we do? We have some brochures that I will pass around. And if there are not enough of them to go around, I think the last time I take this body box, there are lots more in the rack outside there in the lobby. What we have done is to, as I say, print brochures. We made cards that we sent to all the faculty and staff at the university. We sent emails to all the students. Not that you necessarily look at email, but probably. And all of this has resulted in about a doubling of the number of visitors we get. But I still think there is more that we should do, and I would be very grateful for any suggestions and messages. My presentation, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. I'm now going to open the speakers list for questions. First is Representative Balik. Balik.
Hi, I actually walked by your office and jumped in my phone. But anyway, I was just wondering if there's anything else that you would like us to do other than
I think the most important thing is to spread the word to the university. There are a lot of other counseling services around the campus, various things. There's the National Program, EARS. We're a little different in that we have a wide variety of issues, and we are really equipped to refer students to other sources of information and help. So we're kind of a one-stop shop in terms of referring people. And I think the most you can give us is simply to get the word out that we exist.
Thank you.
And we're not fearsome.
Rep. Kurt.
Have you considered going to various more meetings for questions?
That's a very good idea. No, we have not done that. What we have done is to have a table at freshman orientation in the hall. But freshman is a total class in various attendance, which really things great to be here. That I don't think is zero to respect it. But we're going to continue to do it.
Next is VP Luke Shettis.
I guess my recommendation would be to make sure that all the resource centers on campus, including 66 Thurston Intercultural Center and the Women's Resource Center, have these flyers. Just because I think that if a student is going there for other resources, this might be applicable in some cases. So that would be my recommendation.
Thank you.
VP Smith.
My second time being here because I really did a GT actually. And I think some of those officers. I've been with Mark almost kind of like the next day to the presence of items like this regarding your office all over campus, and that's something that I definitely did not see 4 years ago when I took that here. So I think that's actually a big congratulations. I do think you pointed out kind of exactly the problem of why a lot of people make, or a lot of undergraduate positions are not necessarily keeping on your offer set. We have so many other particular resources that are available that are the first stops that a lot of people go. So if there's some sort of issue in your listening hall, you have your RX and your RHD, if you, you know, otherwise you can be referred to the security board or some sort of violation, whatever that might be. But we haven't really, we haven't necessarily figured out what to do in terms of student versus student when you have a non-code of conduct violation of that sort, where in a sense where you would be referred to the JA, the Virginia Review Board or some other board. So I'm wondering, I know you can't really release details of the cases and types of things that you see, but when you said that the number of cases that have come before your office is doubled, what percentage of those would you estimate are undergraduates, and then what type of cases would necessarily go before you get undergraduate? I'm trying to figure out that problem.
I would say that the majority of the cases are staff. We've seen fewer undergraduates in general than in past years. We keep records. The only records we keep is who comes, that are not by name, but, you know, by category. And what kind of general issue are we concerned about? And as I say, my experience with undergrad is that we have some who are kind of enrolled as students, and that we don't really handle, but we're happy with to be as often and advice as best we can to what we do. Most of the ones that I've had have been really creating to speak to faculty and how to deal with it. And so some students don't really have a good sense of it. In terms of things in residence halls, the RHD, that whole system is getting very well. We have a very good response from that position. And I think that one of the reasons is that the university has a variety of ways of approaching these difficulties, which mostly seem to be working quite well. So we just haven't had a lot of issues from undergraduates yet. But we're here and we're available and happy to help.
Next, Liaison Toledo.
Thank you very much for the report. So the Chief Vice Council has pronounced about 1 in 3 undergraduates. So if you could do a presentation like this, just want the general body meeting for each of the sub-councils within the Tri Council, I think that could then filter down the individual chapters and that things like neutrality, confidentiality, or the three-point point I would really appreciate. So I think if you would be willing to present one of their general body meetings, I think that would go forward.
If we were all somebody who would invite me, I would be happy to come to any group and talk about what it is you do.
And last is Rep. Graciak.
Hi, thanks for coming. So one of the issues that happens is we didn't have a man to have any concerns with some of the I recently called the program for about 2 years now to handle all the money for the rule of information and the I think that different information to target and make it inform their orientation to certain sorts of issues, and that way they are aware of some opportunities. And then we have to have
a very much
thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming and presenting today. We really appreciate it. Next on the agenda is announcements and reports, and first is an elections update by Director of Elections, Jonathan Weinberg.
Hey, everybody. I had a wonderful week. It's a wonderful week indeed because the election process started this last year. The election committee is back around. There are 43 candidates for the student assembly and one candidate for the university assembly, and that campaign officially began today. It's a good group, but we're really excited to see what they come out with. We're also excited to announce a concerted effort on the part of the election committee to promote voter outreach and voter turnout, starting with a number of candidates.
forms. So frequently, I think that one of these forms is a key and sense and try to make it more conducive. The first of these forms is coming Saturday at noon, Z10 Biotech. And that form is for all candidates running for every seat. The I1PD book form is post-offered by a number of different organizations. The second form is coming Monday at 5:15 p.m. in Ann Library 102. And that form is for House and Senate policy representatives candidates. And then we have a Super Tuesday group. It's coming Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. in the Hotel 106, post-offered with the Courthouse Hotel Society. There's a form for hotel candidates. At that same time, at 4:30 on Tuesday, in I call 219, there's a form for IR candidates. And also on Tuesday, at 5 p.m. in the Kauffman Auditorium, Willard Drake Hall, there is a form for the president, vice president, and at large liaison candidates if they run for a university-wide position. We are rotating we are proud of working on that form. The co-sponsored and co-moderated by both the Cornell Learning Society and the Cornell Daily Sun, and additionally will be videoed on social media. Finally, on Wednesday at 5 p.m., there is a form for the Arts and Sciences, AAP, and Engineering Representatives on Live Cafe, without refreshments, without moderation. If you have a chance, that's an opportunity to get to go down. I'm really important for attendees and anyone else who wants to talk to know the efforts. Finally, we'll be offering a number of voting booths during the voting period, and it's Monday the 4th at 8 a.m. through Wednesday the 6th of March at 10 a.m. And the election committee is very accessible. We're very enthusiastic about this group, and we think it's going to be an ethical election committee. One with the university and their ultimate work system that it does will truly come through. Please, yes, all your colleagues learning these events and your thank you, Emily.
Next is a Diversity Affairs Coalition update, VP Smith.
One more time, that is very brief. So the Diversity Affairs Coalition had its first meeting last Friday, 15th, very early in the morning. We had breakfast, it's lovely. It's a mix of students and staff from every single college. It was great turnout, very early in the morning, and we really just discussed the mission of the group, make sure everybody was on the same page. We talked about our goals for this semester, and then we did everybody talked about the different initiatives that they and their colleges developed, how they could change their processes going forward, you know, the students in the process of creating these initiatives. And then we did follow up finally with the Oakland Extension Project, a report that was really regarding the creation of some sort of additional coursework regarding diversity or social justice and these are the policies. And so that's something we'll be following up with next month's progress report will also be pretty to the policies, so we'll be discussing those as well. The minutes for those meetings should be up on an RSA at this time or coming up with the use.
Thank you. Next is an Appropriations Committee announcement. VP Desai.
So the groups that we will be meeting with the following week are Community MS and the Women's Resource Center. So not the confidential information that you used like last week for the programming issue, so please feel free to stop by if you're interested in working with either of them.
And then the last announcement is, this is kind of on behalf of CUGA's watchers. They're excited to announce, and everyone who's involved on the SA, is that the inaugural training of CUGA's Watchers is this Saturday. There are almost, I think, 115 watchers right now, which is crazy. The goal was, I believe, 60, 65. It's almost doubled. There's also, and it's a great representation of the entire community. I have the full list of affiliations. But it's split, you know, I don't know the exact percentage right now, but there are a lot of Greek, but also non-Greek. So it's very exciting news. If you're not a watcher, if you haven't applied yet, you can still do it today or tomorrow and come to the training on Saturday. So, and that's for everyone in the audience as well. So I definitely recommend you doing that because it's going to be exciting. All right. Moving on to business of the day. First is Resolution 34. Because I stepped down last week, I have to remain stepped out from the partial. I have to remain partial about it. So EVP Mueller is going to take over again.
All right, I'm back, everyone. Thank you. So I will be limiting speaking time to 1 minute, and I will be extremely strict today because we discussed this to a great extent last week. And so I'll start off with 2 minutes to Vice President of Finance Desai. Speaking time after that is 1 minute, and I'll look around for speakers and people.
So just to really quickly go over the changes that have been made since last week. I will start from the top. So the first thing to notice is that the recommendations have been explicitly clarified in terms of what consists of a recommendation from the appropriations committee. So right there under section C for the report, you can see that the recommendations are specifically to be true on how we can improve their operations structure to more efficiently fulfill the goal of a violent funded organization. First way, we only have to clarify what the role of a violent funded organization is under the charter, and we don't have to change these 5 places that we have to do that. Also, as for the recommendation of President Gitman, if you look at the end of both the fall task force in section E1, you can see there that the task force requires me to get together to understand the operational structure of meeting with each violent funded organization, and that requirement also applies to the appropriation committee, which is at the end of section B for 11B. So those are very clear that for a little bit of members of the assembly that the both committee and task force are always considering, you know, not just pure members and decisions, but really what the greater goal of the organization is and why they're making the decisions that they're going under. Under the task force report, they voice that the purpose of the report could be different than the purpose of the task force. So I have included a sentiment. If anyone wishes that you think that's the purpose, you know, feel free to amend. I'm not really for or against it. But that's in there, so that's been added under section 4, subsection E, subsection 4, subsection 2. And the previous changes that were voiced at the last week in terms of the liaison and the majority vote of the SA have been incorporated as well. Finally, the last thing that I want to do, as for the recommendation of Vice President Smith, we relay feedback from the violent funded organization, so I think he forwarded along this resolution in real time when Vice President Smith sent that to all the violent funded organizations, and I received 12 written responses and 14 and 2 additional that were verbal. Because 3 of the organizations can say goodbye to this, and 1 written response, and then the other 4 organizations I noticed as well. Those 14 organizations that explicitly backed the resolution were ERP, MDLC, Cornell Synonyms, Youth United, Fox Council, Book Media, CCD, CCG, Haven, Near, Convocation, and we read about CCD, Flotation, CCD, Flotation, and verbal one. Point of disclaimer, I have and I don't want to read all 14 statements because that would take forever, but there are 3 individual small snippets from comments or attention that I just want to share because I think they represent different viewpoints. So the first is from Fox Council. For those of you guys who remember earlier in the year, Fox Council recommended a decrease by the Appropriations Committee. They were using some pretty hard feedback. We met with them individually kind of after that and kind of simulated what this process would be, you know, taking a couple members from the Appropriations Committee, followed up, allowed them to give a written response, took notes on the actual meeting, and document it for future use.
Point of information.
From the class of 2014 budget was this resolution seems like a logical way to ensure that violent funded organizations are spending their allocation.
I, w- point of information. If the Bylon-funded organizations, if their representatives or president are in the room, do you think they should have the opportunity to the chair?
Point of information directly to the chair.
Do you think they should have? Do you think they should have the opportunity to speak on behalf, you know, on behalf of their organization?
Yes, I do, and I will offer them the opportunity and send Ross, our vice president of outreach, into the audience in a moment to gather people who would like to be on the speakers list. For those of you who are in the audience, I see Ms. Fick and Ms. Moser and some other people who might want to speak. We'll take one community member after every three assembly members for speaking. Even though this is not a sense of body resolution and there's no vote in the audience, you are welcome to voice your opinion. So, go ahead, Rudy.
I could really make sure that we're here.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you would like to stop the jump, I can share those with a few other comments. I can put myself on the seat and share that might be helpful for the room to hear the
words. Gotcha.
So to continue, seminar has allocations in line with the student assembly intentions, and that the recommendations of the appropriations committee are followed upon if they are realistic or addressed, if they are not possible for whatever reason. The reason I think this is important is because they were recommended to decrease. They were given the role and clearly they found the cost of household. So I thought that was kind of an important side to show. The next statement that I wanted to share was from CTV, the Community Partnership Board, and they were given a hold, so kind of representing quite a good review on this entire process. And the comments from the president of CTV, Susie Chang, from the class of 2013, a very long email, well, I was already the CRP email, said, so the Inclusion Research Program is the program that provides the newspapers on campus. The reason I thought this was relevant here is because they don't have that organization on campus that we can have a weekly liaison on that and have specific kind of conversations throughout the year. The sentiment that was sent in from Robin Irwin, who's their representative, was, "Your team has done such a good job improving the SA communications process. I like the idea of a fall check-in meeting and receiving feedback from your group. I'm currently working on implementing suggestions made for the meeting and am in full support of this resolution. Further information we met with them at the beginning of the year, and so far, based on our recommendations, we now have new chambers in Goldie. We've taken out newspaper stands from Phyllis Dormitories on North Campus, and we are adding the financial funds to the leadership list in the spring. And, you know, for those of you guys who have been here for a while, you know how many times we've asked for a number of new chambers to be added out of the New York Times and the USA Today. And I think showing that, you know, making these recommendations in lieu of a bylaw funding here really does hold a lot more weight. I think I'm out of time, so I'm going to, you know, make the CCD comment. So I'm going to put myself on the speaker first, and I'll share it then. And finally, hopefully you all read the email that I sent last night in relation to kind of my response to the liaison. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. Danny Bedonia, who represents Slope Media, has asked, had pre-arranged to be on the speakers list, so I'd like to invite her to come up and speak at this moment. Actually, I'd like to welcome some of the people standing in the back there, if they would come in. We do have some of the members of the Slope Day Executive Board who I believe would like to make a brief announcement of some sort. Excuse me, someone who is trying to make way in front of me.
Just get back.
Melissa chairs.
What do I do?
Hey everyone, so we're still okay for a report. My name is Young, and I'm the chair.
And I'm Graham, I'm the vice chair. I'm Michael, I'm the question director. Josh is not supposed to be liaison on the NSA.
I'm Lindsay, I'm the promotion
director. I'm Lee,
I'm the administrator. I'm Danny, I'm the co-host.
So this year has been a very long and extensive process. We started back in the first semester.
successful morning, you have to know the main decision. And I had one of the love tickets. So, one thing to know, we still can take our last open, and once we do, we'll let all of you know immediately. But that's about it.
Say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, before you guys leave, we just wanted to thank you guys a couple things. First of all, thank you very much, you know, for obviously announcing it at the student assembly meeting for the new members on the SA and for people in the audience. It is traditional that Slope Day announces the acts at an SA meeting, but also thank you guys very much for all the work that you've put in over the past couple of months. You know, we know how much, you know, especially appropriations members who heard you last week, but also everyone, we know how much work you put into it and how much work you're about to put into it. So thank you guys very, you know, it's only beginning. So thank you guys very much. We really appreciate it.
So I apologize for the interruption in form, but I have a love for theatrics, so we really wanted to do that. I also really wanted to keep a secret from Adam, and I successfully did that, so
it's true.
Have the record show. Thank you. All right, so Jenny actually did have some actual points that she wanted to make about Appendix A, so Jenny, you have 1 minute, and I'll give you one tap when you're at 30 seconds and two taps when you have 10 seconds left. I'm not going to grant that. They had double the speaking time again. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Jenny. And I'm sorry, what was your name again for the record?
Catherine.
And can you give us your full name and your year?
I'm the current.
And what's your year?
Oh, junior.
Thank you. Okay. Next on the speakers list, we have Representative Mogul.
Say, but I also think it's important to have some
two, I want to strike the clause that says, additionally, the appropriation authority can require the task force to follow up with any judicial organization by the minority vote, regardless of their funding recommendations for the following bylaw and other clauses. I'd also like to add a still in section B, number 4, subpart 3. At the end of that section, I'd like to say, and the report issued by the Ministry of Finance, comma, which will be included in the final official report. So this is a group size like a report on responding to the recommendations of the task force, or sorry, the report on the task force, instead of signing off on it. It allows their response to the law, which is the official report that goes to the assembly and the future of the probation. So,
can I make a suggestion to how to work that?
Go ahead.
You say it must be included with any. Which must be included with the original report of the appropriation for the reason we need to prevent the harvest. That way, anyone can get the original BDF report.
Yeah.
Could you repeat that, please?
Which must be included with the end of at the end of that last section 3, comma, which must be included with the report of the BDF finance.
To any respective party. And, Dean, I just want to be clear, you're striking from B2, additionally, the Appropriations Committee through where?
Through the end of that sentence.
The end of that, so just to meet with them.
Yeah.
Or to the bylaw budget.
Additionally, the appropriation committee, blah, 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 to follow the final budget.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so we are now, the amendment made by, or made by Representative Wilkins, so we will go into discussion on that amendment. First response, first President Hunt to decide. I'm going to give 30 seconds on this.
I continue to do this as part of a part-time national event. I present the actual common motion with the amendment, so you can just vote on that and get out of the way on the first part, which I actually do disagree with. And I've listened to those people who express concern, and the reason that I think the Appropriations Committee should have the ability to recommend this to the task force, regardless of their kind of procedure, is like a great example of current funding cycle to take their place, who we do not recommend the decrease to, and who sent in a very long letter endorsing the resolution, which I can read in the future comments. But despite the fact that we didn't give them a decrease, there were a lot of things that we felt that we could help them with. You know, to give you guys an example, they were walking the bike up from Europe to North Campus to avoid like overflow of traffic in one area. Just like really taking a part of stopping funding for them because it's inefficient. And I think if you remove this clause, the intent of the committee in any future year, if they want to meet with an organization, it's hard. Well, that means if we want to meet with them, we have to give them a decrease. So let's recommend that the decrease helps them take their following and then say that they fix it in the report. Like, that's not the structure that I want. I think you need to be able to make the recommendation that you feel in the original report, and then be able to support. So I move to split the amendment, and then I call the question on the second part.
Okay, the first there is a motion on the table to split the amendments. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. So you can't dissent to the simple reason. Oh, you second. Okay, the motion is seconded. That's what I was looking for, actually. Thank you. The motion has been seconded. The question has been called on that motion. Is there any dissent to the question being called? That could be.
Can you explain the splitting again?
Okay, so what we're doing here, folks, is we are splitting the two parts of the Representative Wilkins amendment, which the first was to strike a portion from section B2, and the second being adding to the last point of, it's actually B4, subsection 3. Does everybody follow me?
No.
Yeah.
So we are voting on the second of the two. So just voting on now on
B4,
subsection 3, which adds to the end of the clause, which must be included with the report of the VP finance to any respective party it is sent to. Which is that whatever grammar we decide on. Okay?
Makes sense.
So, seeing no dissent, we are calling question on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment? All those opposed? All those abstaining? By a vote of 24-0-0, the amendment passes. We now return to the speaker list on the first of those two amendments that we split, which is striking clause the sentence, additionally, the appropriations committee can require the task force to follow up with any additional implementation by majority vote regardless of their funding recommendation for the following pipeline funding cycle from section D2. So first on the speaker list for that amendment is Representative Watt, and next is Representative Benandi, followed by Representative Wolf.
There are a lot of groups that come to us. Like many groups that we vote for,
Finishes our speakers list for the amendment. Is there any motion? Do you want to get the speakers list?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd also entertain any motion moving forward. Representative Harrison.
What is it? They see by requiring
Yeah.
Changes that you made to the resolution. I especially like the change about requiring a good faith effort of appropriations to understand the operations of byline funded organizations, because I felt like previously the resolution did not emphasize the SA trying to understand organizations more. It was more just, this is what appropriation thinks should happen and therefore you should do it. So I like this change a lot. The one thing that the amendment that I want to make is in section 4, I think subsections 1 and 2 are basically the same thing. I think it's, so I'm going to motion to strike section 4.1. You guys can take a second to read it, but it's basically the same exact thing said in two paragraphs. So I want to keep 2. And the reason that I chose 2 over 1, and this is small, but the first clause in it is again focusing more on the organization and their ability to carry out the recommendations, as opposed to the first one, which is just whether they're complying with the recommendations or not. So I'm going to motion to strike for subsection 1.
Okay, President, motion to strike subsection, this is actually D4, subsection 1. Representative seconded by Representative Bonatti. I'm opening discussion on this item. Is there anyone who would like to be on the speaker's list? Representative Bonatti. All right, thank you. And next on the speaker's list is Vice President of Internal Operations, Michelle.
I agree as well, and I agree with the reasoning for 2 over 1, so I motion to vote.
Vice President, the chosen call to question. Is there a second? I heard from someone. Yes, there's a second. Any dissent? Okay, so let's explain the dissent. I'll take that and allow the Vice President to decide to respond.
The subsection 2 was added at the request of Vice President Internal Operations.
No, 2 was 1 month.
Do you withdraw your dissent? Okay. Was there other dissent on the floor? All right. So seeing none, we will call the question. This will remain a classic vote. All those in favor of the amendment? All those not in favor, all those abstaining, it's fine. By a vote of 23-0-0, the amendment passes, and subsection D4-1 is approved. We now go back to the speaker's list on the original amendment, on the original resolution. I would like to invite Celia Moser, class of 2015, to speak for a moment.
President Montana.
For everyone who she can introduce herself, I'm sure, but she is the president of Cornell Minds Matter, so speaking on behalf of that.
Maybe so that they aren't able to relay actual changes that are going on, but only to explain what they think.
think about these possible recommendations and what you're supporting them now. And so I think that you really have to talk about this and keep talking about the data and more and more feedback without actually thinking about what actual feedback are we going to get. I don't think that this is very efficient. I think we need to focus on the research for the entire year. We can really get a picture of where the data is.
Yeah, please, sir.
Great. So, the comment that Doug made about, the time to actually make any changes was also voiced by, in terms of the and that was in order to account for that, if you notice the two words that, Representative Block conveniently left out were need or plan. So it does take into account the ability of the organization to make sure the things that we plan to do to respond to these. Also, you mentioned the liaison position. I sent a very detailed email out to the UNSA listener explaining why I felt that the liaison position by itself was an inefficient means of accomplishing the goals set forth in the resolution, and I have never responded to any of those things.
Next on the speaker's list is Vice President of Diversity Inclusion Smith.
Personally, I am still apprehensive about this resolution, partly in theory, but also in practice. I'm just really concerned, again, I said it last week, about just how much we're expanding in the sense of the authority of the appropriations committee and to what extent we're looking to be involved in how, in just the ordinary operations of our of the organizations that we serve. So if we're going to micromanage in sense, I'm just a little worried. I don't know, it seems to me that the focus of this has shifted, the focus of the conversation has shifted a lot since a lot of the things that we're introducing programs that we talked about more about understanding organizations and building better relationships. And I know you said your argument about me and I read it, I fought it for a while, but it's the same thing that Representative Block said. If we shifted that focus on understanding, then why are we not just using the AFM? If we think it's an efficient structure, then instead of adding something right now, then we should revamp the whole thing.
Thank you. Next on the speaker's list is Student Trustee Forrest.
Hey guys, thanks for coming. I brought up a few concerns 2 weeks ago. Just kind of wanted to throw them out there and hear if you guys are positive. So my first concern is technical and substantive. That is, the way this is written, I'm afraid that the only way you can possibly fulfill it is by reviewing all of the meetings. So you have to do that in those groups and you have to do it and that hasn't happened. So I think technically we need to use amendments to change that. But that's not a substantive issue. That's just, The substantive issues are two. One is, I think it's really great about the way you mentioned about the organization of the Secretary of Health, business body, and that. You mentioned like 14 that supported it. Were they unanimous? Did you get any writing back that were against it? Did you get any writing back that were against it? And I appreciate the slight question you had, but that's the second one. Thank you, guys. And the second question is, just kind of a concern about how follow-up can look. So the Appropriations Committee will change year to year, and if one, all filing from the year says we give them more, and then the next year, because everyone's competing for resources and financial resources, the Appropriations Committee changes, we vote to put them down. I think that's going to be very awkward, and we need to move on to trouble for the FDA, and that only moves out in the fact that we still have to pay specific votes before.
So in terms of the implementation thing, you want to throw a ball in at the very end of the year, of implementation of the year, kind of get 2012-2013 year, and of course it's going to be that was going to be fine with that. In terms of the responses, so with line matters, thank you, by the way. Don't decrease the security features in there.
motion for it?
I'm going to motion to restrict speaker time. We have a lot on the agenda.
The speaker time is only 30 seconds. I have the right to change speaking time at my will, so I say 30 seconds. Next to the speaker's list is actually a community member. I'm having a hard time reading Vice President Gitlin's handwriting, but I believe it's Andrew Newman. Class of 24 view.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Okay, stop time shit.
Hi, and thank you. My name is Andrew. I'm going to have a meeting today. I'm going to be representing Student Esports. Student Esports discussed the resolution in our last meeting and are excited for a process that will be in communication between the application community and the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next on the speaker's list is VPSDR 3.
So I'm speaking as a member of the probation committee. I'm 100% in favor of this. I think the problem that people are talking about is the framing of it and not the resolution itself. If you look at all the issues, I think they're kind of ineffective and they don't provide the same level of needs that the probation committee would provide. Which I think is very complicated. I think at the end of the day, our responsibility to the student body is we're allocating $6.5 million. We have to do it early, and I think the resolution is adopted.
MD LC or prefer to liaison later.
Speaking as a former executive board member of the NYC, I do like the decision you made. I just have a couple quick questions. Number one, I do like the addition of the requirements of good faith to understand the operations and structure of the financial organization. That's pretty vague. What specifically does that mean? Like, what sort of things will be done to make sure that it's really understood other than just looking at the numbers? And that's a major question. And also, I do want to echo the idea that the other talk about liaisons, and from what I was told by the UC side, most of those liaison roles for the finance center organizations are currently vacant. So it's just finding people to do that. That's
just a main
question. What does that mean?
What sort of
future
questions
have you had
for
that?
So, at the end of the day, the appropriations process is executed by the Vice President of Finance, who is accountable to the Student Assembly. So, he's coming up for another reason why he or she is internally led by the Assembly. So, it would be the Vice President of Finance's job to make sure that, these recommendations are being made in good faith. Historically, the President of the Student Assembly has also attended all the meetings of the Appropriations Committee, which is kind of running below the reserve figure. I think that, with the two of those people having meetings a lot, I think there is a pretty good accountability for the students that most people are elected, a lot of students and other students in the school. And then,
Representative Munson.
Thank you guys for all the work you made. There's a lot of talk about the how this is extended over the
community.
But I think that the services we always have to know about power.
Because you're going
to have to come up with all the work we need to get. So I think offering more feedback and improving the feedback is really important. All the decisions that they made, I think, were to make sure that they're being thought after this, the whole point of how organizations make their decisions. And we always give them the power to determine the state of the organization, and we give them the decisions on how to change that state.
Thank you. Question has been called, and there's a second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent. Go for it.
I don't know if you can either. Our co-chairman is not here, so let's just let Adam get his dissent. That's okay.
I was gonna make another amendment.
The motion is withdrawn, and we will continue discussion. Next on the speaker's list is actually Vice President of Finance Tsai, followed by community member Karib.
Thank you.
students and an off-campus interactive student organization. And I mentioned earlier, you know, being pretty important feedback this year. And then finally, you know, the whole common final liaison is getting out outside of the appropriation committee. But since eight members of the appropriation committee are from the student assembly, I think it's less than 20 members for 31,000 organizations. So if every member would have to do at least 1.5 organizations, so, you know, either two or three. And, like, to me, that just becomes a point of, is this person really going to be able to do that job?
Yeah, yeah, granted, sure.
Okay, so the same thing with TGD that I want to read, I think those kind of other vantage points that I mentioned earlier is, you're running off, I support the SA Resolution Number 34, which will allow bottom-funded organizations of the community partnership work to stay current and have the appropriation committee use them, even during non-bottom-funded years, and help prepare for the funding hearing the following year. For CGD, our organization is greatly benefited from this opportunity to familiarize the new board members with the hearing process, as well as the formal procedures to receive annual feedback about our performance of the funding board, point to set the recommendation on our organization, to be taken care of the community partnership.
Next person to speak with is community member Britt.
We're heavy on the streets.
Hi everyone, my name is
Oscar.
I'm the current VP of Finance with Deacon United and the Vice President of Deacon United, as well as the co-president of LEL, which is directly funded through the Lawn and Plan Company. So I have however, I question sort of what Representative Smith had mentioned in terms of increasing the power of the appropriations committee and what it does. We really don't want to be micromanaging the appropriations, and we really value the feedback that it's really hard to receive feedback from somebody who's deciding how much money they're going to give you every other year and not follow the feedback that it's given. And there are many reasons why we may or may not agree with the feedback that is provided. So we want to keep that in mind. Just as a point of clarification, if you keep kind of giving us the report to my organization that we go through, we have not officially supported anything, so we've simply not been asked from their information that they'd like to be able to answer the question.
That means 5 seconds.
Okay. Just one last thing, I don't know what currently what about the situation now does not give us a power to request feedback as it is why we need to be able to give feedback to the bottom line.
Okay, we have finished our first speakers with student assembly members. Would you like to speak?
Thank you.
right now. So what if you have the organization give our support to the outcome regarding the symptom and how they interpret your recommendations on that and why? Because I think the organizations are not clear about the recommendations that come made. They will come to you. You don't have to tell them what you got. They ask a question. You tell them what you're thinking. You can do it on their own time. Let them submit a report. If they submit it wrong, then it's their fault for not coming to you because you have offered your resources and something. And it doesn't happen in my life. They're responsible because they have to make a contract.
I'm making an amendment.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
So, yeah, I've had a conversation with a number of organizations and have tried to implement procedures that are responsible to that a lot of them have suggested. So, the main thing there is the end of section D. Which is striking, that allows you to submit a written response that anyone can pass it, right? So this basically says, like, look, we will come in and do the job for you first, and we will, like, write down what your responses are, and then if you
gosh, shut up, okay? I know, but I can't do anything about it.
The alternative is,
again, everybody, 30 seconds, please. We really are trying to move on to other items.
Motion to dissent.
Okay, so the question has been called and there is dissent. Would you like to explain your dissent?
Yeah, I have another amendment to make before.
Do you withdraw your motion? This is withdrawn, and there is a motion on the table.
Okay, so I think that there is a lot of still seems like hesitance because there's not enough, because it feels like that the Appropriations Committee would have a lot of concentrated power to do whatever they want. I made a couple amendments last week to try and give the SA more oversight, and I want to do that again. So for Section C, subsection 2, each byline-funded group must receive their report within 1 week period following their hearing. The reports must also be included in the SA agenda in the week following their release to their respective group. The Assembly reserves the right to overturn any part of the report. So that if the report is so egregious that SA members feel that, you know, it would, you know, be overbearing for an organization, the SA, which is the elected body, would be able to overturn that.
So we are now open to discussion on the member first is
okay, I have one more thing. Sorry.
Please let us know if you're supposed to be and then Representative.
So I, while I'm aware that the other amendments made by President Gillen, I completely 1,000% disagree with the sentiment and intent of this one. First of all, the Appropriations Committee releases a report every week that has never been checked by the SA, and the reason is because we're not actually making any sort of ruling. We're issuing a recommendation. So by doing this, you as a student assembly are they're telling a group of students on campus that they don't have the right to voice their opinion on something, even though they've been mandated by the student assembly to do that job. Further, the reason that more than 50% of the complexion of the appropriation committee every year is staffed by a vote of the student assembly. Every year the SA is the one voting to put people on what's in front of more than 50% of the committee. But by definition, they should be able to overturn any rule that is made on the appropriation committee. And finally, like, I cannot stress enough, if you are not there for the full 1.5 hour conversation that we have for every single group, including the overview of the finances, the Q&A session, and the very in-depth discussion that we have, I find it very, very hard for you to be able to comment on the appropriateness of the specific recommendations made by the report. And if you really want to speak assembly to have a voice in the process, you can come to any appropriations committee meeting that does not have confidential numbers. You can be a part of the discussion. You have definitely time. There's no 3-to-1 rule. You can talk more than I can. But there's no reason for us to go through this, like, approval process every week that makes basically a non-monitoring funding year the same political battle that a sideline funding year. So we talk about every single group recommendation for hours on end. The group gets put in the case. Who did the response and with the report so in terms of the amendment proposed by President Dick? And I don't think that accounts for the following you're talking about.
Next on the speaker's list is President Hitler.
Well, I actually think that this, in a way, is making the resolution, in a lot of ways, is making a non-byline year a byline year. So, and I think that in the same way that the SA has the right to overturn a funding recommendation, because this could very much affect a funding recommendation, that the SA should also have the right to make changes to it. However, I will, depending on the other sentiments of the people on the speaker's list, would withdraw if everyone is opposed, but I think that it'll give more oversight to the SA. And the other thing is, this isn't necessarily aimed at the current Appropriations Committee. The point of it is to keep safeguards in our charter, in our bylaws, so that say there's an Appropriations Committee down in 2 years, in 3 years, in 10 years, which is like overly tyrannical about what changes they want to make to organizations. The SA is an elected body, and you have to think long term.
Next up, please listen to Representative Kerr. And please, I remind you again, 30 seconds speaking time. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Chopra. Questions been called, is there a dissent? All those in favor of the amendment? Back to vote. All those opposed? All those abstaining? What do you have, Chelsea? Exactly. Okay, great. By vote 6-17, one motion failed. Okay, we are going back to the original speaker list.
Second.
The question has been called as the second, is there any dissent? Okay, this will be a roll call vote on the final resolution. Chelsea, whenever you're ready, please call the roll.
Yes.
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 Yeah, I'll pass for now.
Lawson?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Finch? Yes. Wilson?
No.
Kurt?
Yes.
Lee?
No.
Lawson? Yes. Did you
pass? Pass.
Marshall?
Yes.
Christopher?
Yes.
Mitch?
No.
Adam?
Yes.
Lucas?
Yes.
I apologize, Chelsea. I wasn't keeping track, so I'll give you a moment. I'm new to this. By a vote of 17-5-2, the resolution passes.
What are you talking about?
He's actually right.
He's
actually right.
No, it requires 19 yes votes to pass of all seated members. And there's 27 seated members and you need 2/3 plus 1. So it requires 19 votes. It doesn't matter who we're missing. You can also leave it for Adam to rule on this later, to vote to death, or Aaron to vote to rule on this later, but that's how it would be.
Uh-oh, Ari. We have Ari coming up here. Hold on one moment, everybody. Sorry.
Apparently he's right.
Yeah, so our parliamentarian sort of extraordinaire. Apparently, yes, it does, in fact, need 2/3 of all seated members for a charter change. So by that metric, the resolution does not pass.
All right. Yeah, sure is. I'm going to be extending this meeting, so if anyone has a meeting to go, text people that you're going to be a little late, unless you have a prelim, because we all decided to speak for a while on this, but we have a lot on this agenda that's very important to do. There are just a lot of important issues, and if it were your resolution, you'd want the same treatment. So, right now, 6:45. Next on the agenda is Resolution 35, increasing member accountability for a revised initiative tracker. And again, it's only because there's a lot of important stuff, and I know if it were yours, you'd want to get it heard as well. Do you want to just say for 30 seconds what it is again? Do you withdraw it?
Fine.
VP Gitlin.
Just the one thing I'm worried about is I understand that this may help people who are not necessarily as involved on the essay, but what if there's someone who is just a little late in terms of filling out the tracker and does a lot of stuff outside of it? Like, can it manage to prevent people from doing work? I think the issue is are you restricted?
I don't think you should inhibit people from doing work. They can really go about 2 words for each of the parts of it if they need to, and then open communication. People in the text, you know, you call me and let me know that they need another extra day to fill it out because they are having a prelim or something school or something. I don't think that it would be impactful. I think
so.
But
what does that mean?
respond because, for example, if I'm working on the side and I want to make like an announcement about it,
Do you have a motion?
Yeah. So I'd like to make a motion based on parliamentary procedure to reconsider the previous vote, seeing as how we did not give the chair of the assembly at the time the ability to make or break the tie, which they did at the time have the opportunity to do. So I just asked the RA, we need 18.
I thought that was 19, but
yeah, however
you
want
to
handle it.
I'm
sorry.
Ari, can you clarify the... Okay.
Because we have to vote on the motion, and I'd rather, like, not go further into this next resolution before settling this. That's why I made the motion now.
Do you want to withdraw and we'll make it a little bit so we can continue speaking about this resolution? There's no difference at this point.
Sure.
Continue. Next is Representative Chopra. Rep. Pritchett.
Yeah, just want to express actually the sentiment of D.C. Gillen expressed earlier. I'm just concerned about the 3% of the resolution, but the assembly. I'm really concerned about the execution. For example, perhaps if you're working on, say, 6 different issues and you forget to fill out one of them, for example, we'll still get half.
All we want to see is somebody putting something in their mind every single week to ensure that they are like reconsidering what the work they've done in the past week and what work they're going to do in the following week. The content means very little to me personally. If somebody is continually filling it out manually and not giving a lot of detail or just saying nothing to report, that's when the alternative action can be taken. That's when I will reach out to someone and say, hey, you really shouldn't be working on something. It's not designed for
that. Rep. Lovely. No, I'm sorry. Okay.
So if you forget one of the issues,
Next is Rep. Lovely. Do you want to continue?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have contacted me once this year about first and second coordination, so I would love to have you there. Or any time you want to ask a comment or question or anything, you know. I kind of agree with Representative Lovely's extensive that people are a little bit afraid of not doing work every week, and, you know, we were all looking at it. It's not going to be I think we have people are afraid of.
BP Green.
30
seconds.
Okay. Hey guys, so I'm looking on the title. I think this resolution probably is more about transparency than it is about accountability. Like you said, you don't have to read that you can put on the doctor and up to the report and all that. That, you know, as a member, like, that doesn't really, like, motivate me to do work, so I'm kind of concerned about that. I also think it's kind of hard to manage. Hard things from a member's perspective, but I agree with it in, you know, the idea format of it. I mean, I would support it, but I just, you know, maybe it's been, like, ingrained in culture that it is.
Rep. Batista.
Starting the answer, though, but I do agree with you, Stephen, and Dr. Transparency. I have a question to you, because we're being brilliant things that we want to stop from the UCC, and sometimes it's difficult to know what other people are doing, and I feel like the mission tracker is something that's there, and maybe not everybody is going to look at it, but it's something that if you're having a conversation, you have a chance to put something in there, and if you've done your work, and you have a chance to see where people's interests lie, as well as what they want to get involved in.
VP Desai.
So I just want to voice my overwhelming support for this resolution. I've been talking about instituting an initiative tracker since my sophomore year. I feel like there's been a lot of hesitation on the assembly, and I think a large reason of that is, you know, this is the first year where representatives on the whole are actually taking on initiatives on their own as opposed to following those that were already in place, and I think that that's fantastic, and I think the fact that this assembly has moved to the point in time when individual representatives can actually put their name on the work that they're doing says a lot about where we've come over the last year. That being said, you know, I don't necessarily... Go in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Next is Rep. Iwaoka.
I wasn't surprised at all. I was a little worried it would be an extra administrative work, but to be quite honest, I don't care for the money it is because you are a person that you guys I also think that for other representatives who don't have, like, a well-organized community like the one I'm representing, like,
right.
You're on the ground looking for something to work on, and it's a great way to connect with other assembly members and the executive board. So I'm not just in favor of the resolution, and I'm going to just call the question.
Second.
Sorry, what was your motion? There's been a motion to vote, and it's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Do you want to explain your dissent?
I think that I'm going
to... Okay, we're going to vote to vote on this. If you are in favor of voting on this, please raise your placards. If you're not in favor, if you want to continue debate.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Is that you? Abstentions? 0. By a vote of 18-5-0, we're voting on this. So if you are, we're now voting on Resolution 35. It's going to be a roll call vote. Chelsea, if you could please call the roll.
Where did Ari go?
Ari.
I don't know if we can do it now.
What?
I don't know if we can do it now.
Why? What do you mean?
Yeah. This is a standing rules change.
Is standing rules 2/3 or something?
I think so, yeah.
It'll be 2/3 of voting, of present, 2/3 of present. There are 22 here. So 2/3 of 22 people. So I guess 14, 15, what? What? So 15. Yeah. Can you say it out loud?
Point of information, this is part of the standing rules, correct? So
yeah.
You would have to reapprove it at the beginning of next year, or the FA would have to reapprove it at the beginning of next year?
Correct.
For this like, trial period?
That's a good point, is that this could be completely triggered in the next fall.
So it's like a trial period?
Yeah. Okay. So 2/3 of people here right now.
Yes.
So by a vote of 20-2-0, Resolution 35 passes. Did you have a motion? Did you have a motion?
I have a motion. I move to reconsider the vote on Resolution
34.
And on what grounds is that motion?
I'd like to take a Because Sean is able to break the tie.
Given the opportunity to make a break.
Basically, what we're doing, I have to.
So basically, because it was exactly on the cusp of either of potentially passing, the chair has the right to break the tie. Can you let me finish something? And so there's been a motion to reconsider the vote. There's dissent to that. Yes. Ari. It was 18 for 2/3.
Basically, we didn't do the vote fairly, so we do it fairly.
And what's your dissent?
There were additional members of the audience that would want to speak, so I would say that we should push it off for next week.
How is
there? But it was already voted on at this point. Is that motion to reconsider seconded by anyone, or is there any dissent? So I actually can't share this right now. You have to share this because.
Yeah, that's the same question I have. Ari. So if we're reconsidering this, there are people who are not here. Are we simply taking my vote? Yeah, but we need just as many people. So do you still want to reconsider?
All no. Yeah,
you're
a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's
been. Well, I wanted to make the motion right away, but I will.
You can bring it up with a change.
Because the chair has the opportunity to break the tie.
We can grant him that opportunity.
Okay, so what we need to do by our own rule is we do this. I don't think he's that confident.
Okay, so
we should vote for the vote. No.
We just vote on the motion?
Right, vote to vote.
Yeah, so we're going to vote on the motion to reconsider. So to be clear, a motion to reconsider would be a two-thirds majority, standard majority, right? Just a plain majority, motion to reconsider, and then we will possibly vote again on the actual resolution. So this will be a placard vote for the motion to reconsider. All those in favor of reconsidering?
No, stop throwing hissy fit and sit up.
All those opposed? All those abstaining? 5-1-18-0-3. The motion passes.
And
if he voted on it. Yeah.
We are now reconsidering Resolution 34, Amendments of Appendix A of the Student Assembly Charter. So we're going straight into a vote here, and this will be a roll call vote. Whenever you're ready, Jensen.
Summer?
Yes.
Patricia?
Yes.
Walsh?
Yes.
Bernadette?
Yes.
Wait, you need to take this down.
Please?
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
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 Robson?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Innocent?
Yes.
Rosa?
No.
Kirk? Lee? Lovely?
Yes.
Lucasetta?
Yes.
Margaret?
Yes.
Yes. Miss Proxy votes? No. Is he here for the discussion? Okay.
I counted 18.
Could you repeat that one more time?
18-2-1.
By a vote of 18-2-1, the resolution passes.
Okay, I got a roll call.
We are moving on to Resolution 36 in support of the establishment of the International Student Center. There's been a motion to extend. It was already extended till 6:45. Do you want to extend it past there? Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, all side conversations have to stop. Enrico, you have 2 minutes. Yes. I mean, right now, I'm going to say 650 right now, okay? So you can speak loudly. Excuse me? Yeah. Everyone else had 2 minutes to start with.
So, anyway, we have discussed this last week. This is a resolution that I have been working on with other students for various months. To the principal, thank you very much for giving us the information that I sent out to the email regarding the student center and all the kind of issues. And thank you. I think that the number of professors in our student center and if your students are very easy, that cannot be compared to other students.
We all want to talk to you after.
At the moment, there are institutions to study,
going to open up the speakers list. Trustee Boris. Mueller. In a little bit, you'll be able to. Yeah.
So I'm just going to ask a quick question. What contact have you had with the GCSA guys with GASON? I know he probably really wanted to be involved in this. I was surprised not to see him co-sponsoring with you here. So you can respond to that in a few seconds.
Yeah,
exactly how we do it is probably a little bit more discussion.
very challenged around how we get to the Army. That said, I think I'm committed to try to find a way to make it happen. The other element which comes up in this conversation is as we produce more and more incentives, there is the risk, we, I guess you could put it locally, back to the community, that all the incentives act to create an ever more kind of centrifugal force acting on the community. So, in a way, we need to come up with a solution that is both, it's both a community where you can really find the people who you share the idea with, whatever it may be, but you also create an environment that encourages people to reach out to people who are unlocked from different walks of life, from different countries, from different backgrounds, from different religions, from different nations. And for me, that's the best reason to come to Cornell, in fact, because our diversity is so rich. So, in the process of trying to create these centers, there are supportive groups that are unique and have a great deal of common. We also have to find another way to glue us all together as a community. We are all kind of fun. So that's a challenge. And so depending upon who you talk to, they'll either start where I started, or they'll start where I am here.
They're
coming to a country telling them, we want to further the culture of our community. We want to be able to keep it whole. So I would invite you to go on that eventually. Think about what does that mean? How do you do it? How do we have both the situation where we are able to do the company we have commonality, but at the same time preserve a kind of seamlessness that permits us to enjoy this company all together?
Thank you, Dean Hubble. DP Breeden.
Andrew Garland, I'm glad you know, I'm going to call you, competition and task force. I mean, with that being said, I think the number seems pretty receptive to it, and I do think that, you know, this will kind of get on the administration's radar, so I call the question.
There's been a motion to vote. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're going to roll call vote on this as well. Thanks, Shelfie.
Yes.
By a vote of 18-2-0, resolution 36 passes. And the time is now 6:49, and I am adjourning this meeting.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.